The gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those saints, those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's hard these days not to worry. There's so much going on in the world that causes us to be afraid. Terrorist attacks, ISIS, war, gun violence, concerns about the economy, the lack of respect for law enforcement officers, global warming, unemployment, inequality, hunger, poverty, homelessness, the Zika virus, and we could go on and on. Jesus says, don't worry. If you travel, you are reminded of the dangers in today's world as you make your way through those long security lines. You worry about your safety when walking or driving through certain neighborhoods. And even if you prefer to stay at home behind locked doors, newscasters constantly bombard you with bad breaking news on your television screens. It seems there's no escape. The media and our culture provoke us to live in fear. ISIS and other terrorist groups remind, or rather do what they do because they want us to be afraid. That's their purpose. Because when we fear, we become suspicious of one another, especially those who are different from us. We build walls. We are tempted to overreact. Our fear turns into hatred. That's what terrorists want. They come closer to their goal of dividing people into warring camps. Muslims and Christians and Jews and people of other religions and people of no religion. Their radical ideology of hate is designed to provoke fear and anger so that we will abandon our vision of God's kingdom that calls us to come together under the banner of love and to not be afraid. In our gospel reading today, Jesus offers an antidote to fear, a word of assurance and hope in our threatening world. Do not be afraid, he says, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is not whistling in the dark, but rather reminding us that the fears related to earthly living need not be the last word to define us. God is our Father. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, a treasure in heaven that is imperishable. These reminders of God's sovereignty and gracious protection, along with the promise of the coming of God's kingdom, give us hope and assurance in the midst of human problems and fear of an uncertain future. All through the Gospels, we are reminded not to worry and not to be afraid. At Jesus' birth, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news." One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and while crossing the lake, a sudden storm came down upon them, and the disciples were afraid for their lives. Jesus calmed the storm and said, "Where is your faith?" When the women came to the tomb early on Easter morning, finding the tomb empty, they were terrified when two angels appeared to them. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." In today's text, the disciples probably had many things to worry about and to fear. They had left their fishing nets behind, another means of a livelihood, when they decided to follow Jesus. They lived in a time of political unrest. The Romans constantly threatened their way of life. But Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Don't worry so much about food and clothing and all the other things that you need. God knows. God will provide." Jesus also could have said, "Remember your ancestors' journey through the wilderness when God provided food, manna, bread from heaven? And they didn't have to squirrel away a lot of extra food. God gave them their daily bread." We think that our abundance of money and possessions and other treasures on earth will make our lives secure and free us from worry. But we forget that rich or poor, we are all frail human beings who one day must die. We take nothing with us. So Jesus says, don't waste so much of your time and energy accumulating material possessions that aren't going to last. Think more about what you can give away to add to your treasure in heaven. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let it be in heaven rather than on earth." An author by the name of Elizabeth Bolton writes about her grandmother, Nellie, who in her prime of life was a lady to be reckoned with. She was tall, loved to dress up, and wore bright red lipstick. In the 1950s and 60s, during the Cold War period, when the threat of nuclear war was on people's minds, Nellie kept a generous supply of canned food, bottled water, and other supplies in her basement. During the sugar shortage in the 1970s, she kept in her cupboards a large supply of all kinds, white sugar, brown sugar, raw sugar. And later, during the gas crisis, She was obsessed with always keeping the needle of her Buick's gas gauge above the three-quarter mark. Granddad could never understand this, and one day he said, "My goodness, Nellie, do we really need to wait in line again when we still have three-quarters of a tank?" But Nellie replied rather matter-of-factly, "Well, of course we have to wait in line. We got to get ahead of that of those hoarders who try to fill up." Sometimes we act a little like Nellie, feeling that we never have quite enough, even when we do. We worry that something will happen to deprive us of things we need. And it's not just material things. We worry that there's not enough peace and goodwill to go around. We worry that there's not enough goodness and love to go around. Like Grandma Nellie, we worry and wait in long lines, if not literally, then figuratively, trying to get ahead of the game. We work and we worry and we wait, trying to make life secure. Jesus says, "Consider the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet God takes care of them." Earlier in this 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus tells the story of the rich fool. After an abundant harvest, he decided one day that he would make his life secure by building bigger barns and storing up all of his abundance, thinking that he could live a carefree life for many years. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will come to an end here on earth, and the things you have, whose will they be?" Notice how today's text ends. Jesus says, "You must always be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not expect." Jesus counsels us to trust in God's providential care, to be generous, to give away what we do not need. We sang a hymn a few Sundays ago that phrased it like this: "I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." The author who reminisced about her grandmother went on to tell about what eventually happened to Nellie. All of her fancy clothes and the supplies that she kept in her basement and closets, and of course the Buick with a full tank of gas, were all disposed of. Everything she owned now fit nicely into the wardrobe of a room in the nursing home, where kind and caring people gave her manicures, combed her hair, wiped the strawberry jam from the corners of her mouth, and transferred her three times a day from her bed to her wheelchair. The author says that now when she visits her grandmother, she is no longer the imposing, proudly independent lady she once was. But if you ask her how she's doing, she'll tell you that she has everything she needs: people who care about her, a comfortable bed, and the inexhaustible goodness and grace of God. It is enough. She doesn't worry anymore about her possessions. Her treasure is in heaven. She's just waiting and watching for her master to return. I hope that all of us will be just as ready. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.